I'm Paul John Spaulding, GM of production at Cybercrime Magazine. Welcome to the Cybercrime Magazine Update. I'm joined by Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures and editor-in-chief of Cybercrime Magazine. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Paul.
Steve, Cybercrime Magazine is a young media property. Of course, it all started with Cybersecurity Ventures and research, and then the eventual launch of Cybercrime Magazine. And today I was hoping you could take us through some highlights, maybe with Cybercrime Radio, filming our first documentary, and even just when you signed the lease for the office and studio space that we're actually podcasting from right now. So I guess to start in 2018, that's going back to the launch of Cybercrime Magazine and Cybersecurity Ventures, which was previously a research site. Steve, why don't you tell me a little bit about those origins and just educate anyone that's unfamiliar?
Sure. So a lot of people know us as Cybersecurity Ventures. Our research is in the media. It's the genesis of our company, still very much the DNA of our company. We research the market. We still actively publish a lot. In 2018, almost 3 years ago to the date, or by the time this podcast goes live, April 16, 2018, we cut over the Cybersecurity Ventures research site to Cybercrime Magazine. We launched, and voila, we were a media company. But at that point, we really didn't know we were one. We launched the site to feature a lot of our research, had tremendous feedback, and I guess with some prompting from people who are following us, some people working for us, I decided the time was right to launch a media property. Can't do that without people, can't hire people without an office, and I decided to sign a lease on space, and I still remember standing there and asking myself, do we really need all of this space? We don't really have any people. Sign the lease, because I really believed in what we were doing. And that was in May of 2018.
Now, Steve, I joined the company right around the time when you signed off to do the first video podcast series, Ask the CISO. That was back in October of 2018. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that? I know that actually that ended up leading to a bigger event at the end of 2018 as well. So,
sure. So, you know, all of this was just very opportunistic. We decided to produce a series, Ask the CISO. We have a lot of CISO contacts, Fortune 500, Global 2000, because of the research we produce. Our very first interview was with Dr. J, Alyssa Abdullah. Today, she's the Senior Vice President and Deputy CSO at MasterCard. At the time, she was the CISO globally for Xerox. We didn't have anywhere to produce that video, so we took office space across the hall. So we took our second office and converted it into a studio, a makeshift studio at the time. We went on to film and produce 25 interviews with Fortune 500 Global 2000 CISOs. That was great, and it all concluded with an event at the World Trade Center in New York City, World Trade Center. We had a party we called the CISO Convene and had about 50, 60 people, a lot of them CISOs, and had a great celebration. And, you know, that closed out the year for us in 2018, I guess a half a year for us, our first year.
Well, Steve, I know in 2019 is when you started really doing a lot of podcasts. You know, Cybercrime Magazine started. This was pre-Cybercrime Radio, so this was a little bit different. But I know that we, you know, started a series with Cisco at the time. It was the CISO Minute. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
We were thinking about podcasting. We, you know, talked to a lot of people in the industry, got a lot of feedback. Okay, so we're going to produce a podcast. What exactly is that podcast going to be? And by default, we fell back on the CISO crowd that we had been working with so closely, had, you know, so many of them reading our research, and we decided on the CISO Minute. Cisco was a great partner at the time, very supportive around something that was just brand new. It was just an idea that we had. That was a very successful series, and then KnowBefore took over as our sponsor, and now going into the third year of production, or 2.5 years, they are continuing as the sponsor. And Teresa Payton, former White House CIO, A lot of people know her as an author. Teresa was a great host. She came in and she's still the host, and it remains a very popular series for us.
Now, to clarify for any listeners that have been following us since 2018, really since the beginning of Cybercrime Magazine, I do want to say, of course, we were doing podcasts before then. We were doing videos. You know, we're naming these series as kind of landmarks. They're kind of highlights of really the beginning of these bigger projects, these bigger CISO Minute podcasts, you know, these kind of bigger media pieces that we started producing. And I know that another, and I'm saying all this because I know there's another big piece, and, you know, everything here is relating, but May 2019, it's a date I have marked here, Women Know Cyber, 100 Fascinating Females Fighting Cybercrime. Steve, that was a book that you and Di, your co-author, published. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. So shout out to Di Fries. She's fantastic. Our managing editor, my co-author of the book. We had conducted some research on women in the cybersecurity field, and we calculated that roughly 20% of the cybersecurity positions globally were held by women. And that was a big refresh, a big update to some old figures that were floating around, generated a lot of interest. And, you know, long story short, we decided to author a book. We wanted to put role models out. We felt like there was a lot of negative commentary in the industry, a lot of it rightfully so. But we just felt like we wanted to break away from that and just point to, you know, the women who were there, glasses half full, if you will, and, you know, put these women out for young girls to look at, parents, teachers, you know, educators, higher education. And, you know, we published that, and it's been a very popular book.
Well, Steve, I want to name something else too, because I know this is an adjacent project with the book. I know Di manages a Twitter list of women in cyber. I know the origins of that are also a little bit interesting. You know, I have a little behind the scenes knowledge here. Steve, you want to tell us about that, how that relates to the book, and also a hint of course, of some of the projects we're doing even now in 2021 related to, you know, women in cyber, specifically referring to this book.
Well, it's funny, you know, when you grow quickly, sometimes you don't, you know, come up for air, sit back, do something like we're doing today and talk all of this through. And there's so many big numbers here, and, you know, we're just hitting on the bullet points. Just to go back for a second to, you know, the podcasts, we've produced 500 podcasts.
Yeah.
It's, you know, a year later, a year and a half later. So, you know, trying to go back and recollect, you know, okay, how did we get here? You know, it's a lot. And it's the same thing with the book and with women in cyber and with the list. It started out as an interesting idea. There's really not a list per se, an industry list of women who are in the field. We may or may not have the right way to approach it, but let's just dive in and produce something. And we did start up a list. We converted that to a Twitter account so that people could follow it. And today we have, I think it's somewhere between 5,000, 5,500 women who are on the list. And that list predated the book. And, you know, I don't, to be honest with you, I don't remember the exact timing between the list and when the book published, but the two are definitely interrelated.
And Steve, I'm jumping a little bit ahead of time here. I'm jumping into 2021, but I know, of course, we've interviewed some people from the Women Know Cyber book and actually produced short documentary projects around them, highlighting them as these role models. And that's something we've talked about on this podcast before. And of course, you can go see it on Cybercrime TV and listen to it on Cybercrime Radio.
Well, you know, I'm not an author. I never wrote a book before. I'm a writer. I'm a researcher. You know, I've written over 500 articles, but I never wrote a book before. When I wrote that book, or co-wrote that book with Di Fries, I had no idea that it was going to take on a life of its own and start going in all of these different directions and lead to, I mean, we you know, we've had people order as many as 1,000 copies of the book, and it's been distributed, you know, to so many students. We've gone to book signings. We've been invited to all kinds of venues as a result of the book. And ultimately, you know, it's leading to a documentary that we're going to produce later this year.
Well, Steve, that's a perfect transition, because now going back to 2019 here, we had I would say a pretty unique opportunity to film Kevin Mitnick actually in our Northport studios. I know you wrote a whole article about the day, and of course that's up on our website. Steve, why don't you just tell me a little bit about that?
Well, a lot of people know Kevin. Kevin is a legend in our industry. Many people refer to him as the world's most famous hacker. He's the chief hacking officer, co-owner of KnowBefore, a high flyer in our space, now a cybersecurity unicorn. And it was great to have Kevin here. It was an honor that he would take the time to fly in and, you know, spend half a day with us. So it was just very special. It was a Saturday afternoon and it was just Kevin. And I don't think I realized the significance of it at the time. I look back now and think, wow, you know, it's amazing that somebody like him would go out of his way to, you know, show up here in our studios. And he was unbelievable. You know, we wound up filming 5 original short films with him, just, you know, little pieces. And those have been very popular with our audience. And we also filmed Kevin for a documentary we produced on KnowBefore.
Now, Kevin obviously went above and beyond. Not only did we get those stories, but we also got him for the KnowBefore project. Steve, that was the first, to my knowledge, that's the first documentary project that we did. That's down in Florida, Clearwater. That's their headquarters. We actually went down there to film them. We also filmed Stu Showerman. He's the, you know, the founder of KnowBefore. Steve, what has been your reaction like when you're thinking back? Because again, we're going back to, you know, we launched that at the beginning of 2020. 2019 is when we were finishing that up. Why don't you tell me what you think?
You know, I think a lot of these productions have turned out great because we didn't do it because we're filmmakers. You know, that's not who we are. We're not a production company per se, even though we have those capabilities. We were really taken aback by KnowBefore and what they were doing. It was an incredible story that unfolded, you know, right before our eyes. We were working very closely with them. I knew Stu, the CEO, very well. We had access to a lot of key people in the company and felt like, wow, we need to chronicle this. This is an incredible story. I mean, people just don't understand what this company has done, what Stu has done. We talked to Stu and a couple of other people at KnowBefore, and ultimately we decided together with them to film a documentary. And I think it was great because we just wanted to tell that story. And, you know, our heart was in it, and it was a great production, and it was a complete documentary.
Steve, I'm going to pivot a little bit because, you know, we did the documentary, and then after that, we moved into some more aggressive audio projects, Cybercrime Radio. I know that that was, you know, right around the time, January 2020, give or take. I don't remember. I don't think there was an exact date or an exact moment where something, you know, all of a sudden we had something. But, you know, we were kind of building up all this content previously. And then, of course, you know, wanting to really continue with it. Tell me about the start of Cybercrime Radio.
So with Cybercrime Radio, we ultimately launched that brand as a podcast, as the Cybercrime Magazine podcast in early 2020. And we were looking for something that was more of a radio experience. We understood it was a podcast, not actually a broadcast radio, but we were looking for the variety of radio. We were looking for something that came as close as possible to the frequency of radio. And podcasts, you know, just generally don't live up to that. Podcasts are great. You don't have to necessarily compare the two, but we were leaning towards radio. How can we do something that looks and feels more like radio? And we went back and forth. You and I, Paul, had a lot of discussions about it and ultimately decided on a mashup of content of having just a singular podcast with ultimately dozens of series within that. And a lot of people tell us, wow, this sounds like radio. It feels like radio. And 500 podcast episodes later, who knows? Maybe we'll be announcing an internet radio station later this year.
Well, Steve, I want to hold on to that point for a second because I do think a big piece of this was, you know, we were in 2020, right? So there was, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic, which we are still in. But, you know, that was really when everything was just starting and the whole work from home and all those kind of, you know, unfortunate events that occurred. But we had an interesting opportunity where we brought in a now podcast host and producer, Hillary McClure. Steve, why don't you tell me a little bit about that and how that was integrated into Cybercrime Radio?
2020 was a crazy year for everybody. And it was a crazy year for us. On a personal level, you know, COVID impacted us to the extent that, you know, everything's changing and our production suddenly went virtual. So we used to film people and interview them in person. That all went away. Our business grew quite a bit in 2020, but we had to really figure out, you know, how to scale what we were doing. We had to put a lot of equipment in place. You know, there were some personnel challenges that we were able to work through. So at the end of the day, you know, COVID was an opportunity for us to put some content out to help the community. And then all of that growth led us to a point where we needed to staff up. We needed to think about, you know, hiring people. I knew Hillary McClure, prior to her starting here with us. She's up in Maine. She is a full-time remote worker. And, you know, the idea of a remote worker was attractive because of COVID. So, you know, we had to vacate our offices for a couple of months. When we came back in, it felt better to, you know, have a remote worker. Hillary is also close to Boston. She's up in Maine, but she's, you know, an hour and a half away. So in striking distance to a great population of cybersecurity companies, and she has a great skill set, and she morphed into a producer and podcast host. And, you know, she's been unbelievable, and that all happened during COVID. So, you know, she visited with us once to interview, and we've only seen her one other time since then.
Now, I know, Steve, of course, as you were mentioning, COVID-19 did impact us quite a bit, of course, like it did everyone else. Now, one thing as well, just from the business side, we also jumped into something pretty big. At least I think it's pretty big. We started doing a lot of remote video interviews in which you are the host and we're interviewing someone somewhere else, wherever they are in the world, you know, for these kind of, you know, these videos and these video podcasts. What, you know, reflecting back, again, we're not quite out of COVID-19, but just reflecting back to that time where we started, did we ever imagine a time where we maybe weren't doing those things, or, you know, and in the beginning of how maybe we didn't imagine how much it would actually build up and how popular those kind of videos would become?
No, we never planned to do that. In fact, just the opposite. We were always very big on, you know, we sit down with people, we meet with them face to face. We did that here in our studios, or we would go on location and we would fly out to the Bay Area, and we would go into New York City. We've been in DC. We've been, you know, all over the place filming and producing. Suddenly that goes away. And I think at some level, we probably would have just reverted to writing and podcasting and not spending too much time thinking about video had so many of our clients not come to us and said, okay, so, you know, what do we do now? And there was a lot of interest in, you know, continuing doing things remotely. We just didn't have the capability, and we spent a lot of time. We spent, you know, quite a bit of money figuring out how can we do this, because we always just have the philosophy, go big or go home. So we're not going to do something, you know, that looks like, you know, we're filming out of a home studio. So we really put together something I think delivers close to, you know, TV broadcast quality as far as what we look like in our studios and how we bring people in remotely. And once we got that down, we started to produce a series. And I don't know how many people we've interviewed over the past year and a half, dozens, and it's become a big part of our business.
Now, Steve, I know another interesting thing for, again, and I think people that have been following Cybercrime Magazine really since, again, we first started would take particular note and interest in this. But, you know, we publish a lot of written content too. I mean, we've been talking a lot about the podcast. We've been talking a lot about the videos. We've been talking about documentaries. Of course, none of the writing and the researching has gone away. I know we've kind of crossed a threshold this year in 2021 when it comes to the amount of content, written content, of course, I'm still referring to, that we're publishing. Steve, I know you have a lot of info and thoughts on this. Why don't you tell me what's going on?
Sure. So the business has grown so much. So it's not one media to the exclusion of another media. So when we talk about the podcasts and then we talk about the videos, each one of those on their own has continued to grow. Insofar as our writing, our research continues, and we're doing as much as we ever had done in the past. We now have additional people who are writing for us. We're producing content much more frequently. We used to be what you would call a quarterly publication. So we would have these specials every 3 months. Now we're publishing new content every day. We've become a daily news channel for the community. So, you know, follow us, go to cybercrimemagazine.com and, you know, you'll see.
You know, Steve, before we, you know, start wrapping up here, I want to give some, you know, I want to give one last, I guess this would really be a big piece. I know it's something brand new. It's a partnership with WSIS. And I know, of course, you can tell us, well, maybe you could actually start by telling us a little bit about WSIS for those that aren't familiar, and then what our partnership actually means.
WSIS is a great organization. They're the largest, the most influential women in cybersecurity organization. They're global. They were founded by Amberreen Siraj, who coincidentally was the Cybersecurity Person of the Year last year, and it was great for us to give her that award. And in the history of our past 3 years, that's the only award we give out every year. The first year, it was Sylvia Acevedo, who was the CEO Girl Scouts of the USA. The following year, Craig Newmark, founder of Craigslist, a philanthropist, you know, very well known. And then Amberreen. So the relationship with WSIS is one where we are their research partner, and we'll be collaborating with them on some interesting research. And they are the organization that we're aligned to, not to the exclusion of other organizations, but we only have so much bandwidth to work strategically, and they have the resources, they have the people. We're going to be featuring a lot of women who are members of the organization in our media. We're going to be putting out a press release next week, so you know the community will be hearing more. But it is a new and very exciting relationship.
Now, Steve, I want to touch on another thing too that you did allude to before, which is a Women Know Cyber documentary that we've been working on. We're continuing to work on it as we speak. Now, I know that's sponsored by MasterCard, and Deloitte is our technology partner for that project. Do you want to just give, I mean, you know, just a loose recap of not only the project, but then what do those partners actually bring to the table?
Sure. Well, I touched on the documentary a little bit earlier, and I don't want to steal our thunder and talk about too much around the content other than to say the premise for the documentary is pretty much the same as the book. So if anybody really wants to know more, get a better idea, they can just do a Google search, find it on Amazon, Women Know Cyber, the book. MasterCard has been a great partner of ours. We've worked on a lot of content with them. They are our corporate sponsor, very much behind the project, and they've lent some great resources. Dr. J, who's the SVP there, I mentioned Dr. J earlier, deputy CSO at MasterCard, has been very involved as one of the women in the project and connecting us to some other people within MasterCard. Deloitte, many people know, they are the largest cyber consulting firm globally, and they too have some phenomenal resources and people. Emily Mossberg, a lot of people know her. She's featured in the book. We're filming with her. So the two of those are really our key partners for the documentary.
Steve, I know we have not only those partners for that project, but we also have, you know, we have a team here. We have remote employees, as you mentioned before. We have notable people we've interviewed. We have a board of advisors that's pretty wide and vast and varied. Steve, I want to give you the floor. Can you give a shout out to anyone?
Sure. Well, you know, we went first off in this office from having one person, and that was me. We had a lot of computers and a lot of furniture. And you know what? I just felt like we're going to do this. This is going to be big, and it's exciting. It's a great opportunity. And I want to, you know, recruit people here, have all of the resources here. And I literally did that. I mean, I just, you know, rented a big open empty space and, you know, bought a lot of furniture and computers and then hired one person after the next. And it's been great. You know, we have an awesome team. Shout outs here to Chris and to Hillary, Amanda, you, Paul, of course, Mo, our creative director, Di, our managing editor and my co-author, an unbelievable group that we have here, and a group that we're going to continue to grow. We have some great freelancers who work with us. Yeah, so definitely exciting to, in such a short period of time, to go from where we were in April of 2018 to where we are this month.
Steve, before we go, is there anything else that you want to talk about? Anything else that you want to mention? Anything else, you know, just before we close out?
Yeah, well, you know, it's been an interesting ride. We cover the cybersecurity market, and we watch a lot of companies who are raising venture capital. And so you look at a company, whether it's like a KnowBe4, who's a high flyer and they're a unicorn, to companies who are raising $5 million, $10 million, $20, $100 million, $200 million. And these companies are all trying to grow, and everybody grows in their own way. And tracking the market, we've been through our own growth, which has been astonishing for me, because we're not that type of company. We're not raising outside capital, setting expectations to ultimately go public or have some sort of liquidity event. So without tracking it, without thinking about it, we went from practically zero to a $2 million plus annual business, and, you know, a great team of people. And there's just so much momentum. It's really exciting. And I'm so thankful that we've had the support we've had. So I would like to just give one more shout out here. We have a board of advisors. It's on our site, but there's three people in particular, and not one more than the other. These three have been so central and so helpful to us. There's Teresa Payton. There's Dr. J, Alyssa Abdullah, and Scott Schober. And those three have been with us since the beginning. They've participated in our media in so many different ways. And, you know, thanks to the three of you, you're awesome.
Steve, thank you so much for joining today. And thanks for giving this recap. And, you know, I hope for anyone listening that they were able to take some of this information away. Looking forward to, you know, a lot more great content, written, video, audio, you know, podcasts, et cetera, et cetera. So, Steve, again, thank you so much.
Thank you. And Cybercrime Magazine, happy birthday.
I'm Paul John Spaulding, GM of production at Cybercrime Magazine. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Cybercrime Magazine Update. To follow all of our media, head over to cybercrimemagazine.com.